Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home.
Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the Bears are done. It's going to be a long time so we see our Bears again, and in what form will they be in September here in about 9 months? What are they going to look like? Who's going to be their coach? Who's going to be their GM? Is it going to be everything the same?
I guess I just frustrate myself because I'm looking at, and I didn't see Rex on Get Up this morning, but I'm reading the
You want to hear it?
He says, Rex blasts Bears coach for mishandling Trubisky. And I've been critical as well. But I'm also not one that believes, had you not made the change, that all of a sudden Mitch was going to run roughshod over the Rams, the Saints, even the Titans, or the Packers. Like, their offensive line was a dumpster fire at that time.
Right.
They were not running the football, nor were they committing to running the football. Could he have helped? Maybe. But I just don't say, okay, that's a win, that's a win, that's a win, because you never took Mitch out and you put Nick Foles in. Like, that offense was completely screwed up at that time.
Let me play you this here in a minute. I want to give you the news of the day. Doug Peterson is out as Eagles coach. If you're just getting into your car, and 1 hour from right now, we'll have the pregame show for the national championship game between Bama and Ohio State. That should be a good game.
Buses are already on the way to the stadium, as I see.
Is that right?
Buses for both teams on their way to the stadium.
There you go. I can't wait. This has been a great few days of football. Cheers to everyone listening, whether it's on the ESPN Chicago app. Make sure you download it for not only all the live shows on ESPN 1000, but all on-demand podcasts. And the newest way to listen and watch the show is also on Twitch. Shout out to everyone in the Twitch channel right now. The channel is twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We had a huge event yesterday with Carmen hosting, Waddle and Yurko, and a few other guys from the radio station, Travis and Meller. And outstanding.
Can I interrupt you real quick for a second? I see line one. I don't know if you see this, but if it is, this is the person. That is, and he is in Arizona.
It's actually Doug Plank?
Yeah, one of the more accomplished Bears players in the last 30 years.
He
is
brought
on the
it.
Line.
Don't forget, the 46 defense was
named after
Doug Plank from Buddy Ryan. Is this the Doug Plank calling the show?
Guys, listen, I'm flattered that you have me on, really. I live out here in Arizona, so I don't get a chance to listen to you guys all the time. I was just on the phone with Bear Man, and he was saying how he loves you guys and your show is awesome. I said, you know what? As soon as we hang this phone up, Bear Man, I'm calling these guys. And just because it was so frustrating, just watching it melt down right in front of you. And you know what? And if it was literally, a better team beating us, I can handle that. But you know what? There was a lot of lack of effort on there. You know, Tom, there's no Tom Waddles on that team anymore. I mean, it's like, you know, you watch certain people play, and, you know, they never turn it off. It goes. Their energy and their pursuit and their attempts to make catches and tackles and all those sort of things. You go back and watch that game. You know, don't watch where the ball's at. Watch all the other guys around it, and you could see that there was not much effort to get to the ball or, on the other hand, to block or try to do anything, any sellout, because you know what? Early in the game, it was just one play away. There was one play from getting back in that game, and it just didn't happen.
Doug, how frequently have you been able to watch this team this year?
Well, I still do broadcasting for a national radio station, a network, and I did the first game when the Saints were in Chicago. The only person in the audience was the cutout of their mascot. And there was absolutely nobody in that game. But that was a close game up until the fight, if you remember that.
Right.
You know, one of the Bear players slugged a Saint, and all of a sudden, you know, things just started going downhill. And the same thing, you know, in a game like this, I watched you know, the jump off sides by Eddie Jackson in a key situation in the game, and, you know, just some of the other penalties, just needless, totally needless penalties that really just doomed the Bears.
Doug, you're a guy who played that position. When you watch Eddie play safety, we've been critical of his inability to consistently tackle well. What is he doing wrong that he's not successfully getting guys down to the ground more frequently?
You know what? And that's a position you can't afford to miss a tackle. I mean, you usually, if you miss the tackle, it's going for a touchdown. People sometimes accuse me of not trying to get interceptions and things, which I think Eddie tries to do a lot. You know what? I never had a situation where I went for the interception, missed it, and the guy went for the touchdown. If I had to, I would wait an extra second and let him touch the ball and then just destroy that guy. Knock him on the ground as hard as I could and land on top of him. Make sure he doesn't want to ever come back into this area ever again. And, you know, it's just when you go and watch it slow motion and you can see, you know, looking at the second and third time, you start noticing who really wants to play on this team and who doesn't. Because some of those guys were just walking around. In fact, it looked like there was a, you know, the runner sometimes in the secondary, it looked like he had a cone around him where you couldn't penetrate it. And the defensive players would come up with their hands out to their sides like, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, the guy's going to fall down. And then so many times they just missed tackles, which was their technique was horrible. It was horrible technique. And it was frustrating as a Chicago Bear just watching it because, as Tom can tell you, listen, these guys are who we are. I mean, they're a reflection of us. We went and we played for the Bears. And when you watch this kind of effort, it's frustrating. You know, I coached also in the NFL and college. And I'm not saying I'm just a player. I'm not. I look at things in different perspective, not just through players' eyes. But I just don't see how some of these guys could continue to keep playing.
Doug, that was going to be my next question. And Doug Plank has called the show one of the all-time great Bears. What do you see as a coach? As you said, you coached. What do you see from Matt Nagy as a coach?
Well, it's a small world. And you're only as good as your coaching staff. You know, I was a coach in the Arena League and a head coach in the Arena League and then a position coach in the NFL and college. You know, you're only as good as the coaches around you. So I'm not going to try to blame it all on Matt. But, you know, Matt is the one that makes the decisions as far as bringing in a staff. And if it's not working, then what's the reason? I mean, for years and years and years when I got to the Bears, we were just stumbling and fumbling and falling until Mike Ditka showed up. Now you know, might not like Mike, but you know what? He brought with him some coaches that were strong, and they were deliberate, and they were great teachers. And most importantly, it was Mike. Mike, that first day when he came in and sat everybody down and just said, hey, listen, I want to tell you something right now. Half you guys aren't going to be here next year because you don't deserve to be. And the other half, congratulations, because we're taking this team to the Super Bowl. Now, we were just a beat-up team the year before that really played one game and then took a game off. Played one game and took a game off. And I'll tell you what, it was a total mindset. Everyone believed, hey, this was going to happen. And you know what? It started happening player by player by player until they finally got to the Super Bowl.
Doug, when you saw the style of defense, and listen, I played defense going back to grade school, but that was the last time. So I'm no expert on that side of the football. But I thought it was odd, knowing that Drew Brees can't push the ball down the field, I thought it was odd that the Bears weren't more aggressive out on the edge. And I know they've got some guys missing, but I thought they would be more well-suited to actually be more aggressive and make Drew throw the ball into some tight windows. And it looked like they just kind of sat back and let Drew let him do what he does well now, and that's just nickel and dime you.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, I'll be honest with you, prevent is not in my vocabulary in any capacity as a player, as a coach. I was always about smacking everybody I could at the line of scrimmage, you know, all of a sudden putting pressure on the quarterback. You know, you're allowed to jam the receivers at the line of scrimmage, and you start knocking a couple of those receivers around, they're not coming across the middle anymore. You know, I remember I went to Ohio State, and I had a receiver from the Saints years and years ago that played there. And he said, Doug, I got to tell you one story. He goes, I'm sitting there one day, and we traded a kid from the West Coast, and he came in, and they told him he was going to run a crossing route against the Chicago Bears, Gary Fensick and I, in the early 80s. And the guy said, no, I'm not running a crossing route against those guys because they hit you, and they don't stop, and they keep hitting you again. This guy had just been signed by the team. He goes, well, if you're not going to run that route, you're going to get cut. He goes, cut me then. I'm not going to get hit by Plank and Fenzik. I'm just saying, it puts a message out. You know what? These guys aren't just coming out there thinking they're just going to do something. They're going to catch and run. No, and here's the other thing, too. A lot of times they have the ability to get to the ball carrier or the receiver before he went down. I can't tell you how many times Gary and I forced fumbles, recovered fumbles by hustling, by getting over there and hitting somebody. You know, at the last minute, you know, knocking the ball loose. That never happened yesterday. It's just, you know, unless somebody dropped it. You know, nobody was hitting it. I give some credit. I'm not saying it was the whole unit. I thought the linebackers and defensive line play was pretty outstanding majority of the game. But, you know, out there on the perimeter, it's a challenge. It's a challenge for people to watch.
Doug, great stuff. We appreciate you calling in today. Some of my earliest childhood memories watching the Bears was Walter on offense and you on defense. So thank you for calling in today. We appreciate it.
No, listen, I'm going to start listening to you guys. I'm sorry I don't get back to Chicago more often, but, you know, the Bears are a big part of my life. And, you know, thank you for doing such a great job of making sure you break them down.
And by the way, Doug, before he lets you go, you played at Ohio State. I believe you coached there as well. Do the Buckeyes, are the Buckeyes winning tonight's title game?
You know what? Listen, those guys are mad from last year. They really felt like there was a couple calls in that game. That could have gone either way. Unfortunately, they went against Ohio State. And I don't know. I mean, really, basically the game they played against Clemson, they had that chip on their shoulder. And I think they're going to try to do the same thing against Alabama. But I know guys from that, you know, some of the staff down there. I mean, it's going to be a game. I mean, there's no one team taking care of the other. I mean, this is going to be smash-mouth football. So it should be fun to watch.
Should be fun, yeah.
Good luck tonight, Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Tom. Thank you.
You bet. There you go. Doug Plank. Be like Doug. You can call us at 312-332-3776. And if you like to listen to us in the city or you listen to us in Scottsdale, you can do it on that ESPN Chicago app.
He was a grown dude, man, back in the day. He was a dude.
That's why this Rex Ryan stuff is good, because if you know the Bears' history, the 46 defense of the 85 Bears was named after Doug Plank that Buddy Ryan came up with. And obviously Rex Ryan is Buddy's son. Rex was on Get Up this morning talking about Matt Nagy.
I think what they're going to do is move on from Mitchell Trubisky. Look, I've never been a big fan of this Nagy guy. And quite honestly, it's because of the way he handled the Trubisky thing. Mm-hmm. He put everything on him. I mean, he's the guy they blame everything on. Well, why don't you look at yourself first, man? I mean, dude, you scored 3 points in this game. I mean, I know it's nine, but no, it was 3 points.
Right.
And quite honestly, you're an offensive guru. That's why you came here. And those stats that Himbo just put up and Dan talked about, that's not acceptable. And you've gone to the playoffs, you know, 2 out of the last 3 years. Congratulations. That's because that the NFC is a hell of a lot weaker than the AFC. But when I look at this, you know, your guy at Northwestern,
yep,
Chicago kid, that fits better. Because this guy, that plays in Chicago. This guy, I mean, I don't like him. I don't like the way he doesn't take every damn bullet for him. That's your job as a head coach. You don't make your quarterback take every bullet. You take the dang bullets, and that's why I don't respect about this guy.
There you go.
Yeah, now listen, and I think that Matt, in some ways, didn't do Mitch any favors throughout 2019, as I've said in the past, because I think that they recognized quickly that they should have been doing some things differently. I'm just saying I don't hold Mitch without any culpability on the same, you know, at the same time. Like, you're the second pick of the draft. It's depressing that things have to be simplified and modified for you. And I get it. It's not his fault where he was drafted. I'm just saying, yes, the coach didn't put him in position to take advantage of what he does do well, but I'm just disappointed also that things had to be simplified because he didn't function at a high level doing pretty much everything a quarterback should do.
Just remember what the message was, though, after they beat Carolina and their offense wasn't good. Matt Nagy at the postgame press conference took himself out of the equation and said, I've never been a part of struggling offense like this before. And that's what Rex's big point was, is he is taking himself out from being blamed and has blamed a lot of other people. Now, he eventually took play calling duties away from himself for a few games. I don't know who's calling them now, but I think the point is a good one. I don't want to criticize Fitz. I don't want I feel weird about that. 332-3776. We'll continue that. And what are they thinking up at Halas Hall? What could be being said from the top? We could have an idea, and we'll tell you next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The phone number to reach us is 332-3776. We'll take your calls with Gene Greco. Before we go back to the phone lines, Waddle, this lives up to the holiday season because we're back to this. You wonder if George and Virginia are thinking about changes, and it reminds me of our champions from the holiday parody song. Give it a listen.
Uh-oh, George, I think your mom is here.
Boys, let's take a ride.
Ted, don't forget your car seat. Oh, yeah. Thanks, Ryan.
Let's go for a sleigh ride. Bears Management sleigh ride. I'm here with losers and boozers that have burned down this franchise.
Matt, keep the sleigh straight now.
Ted, I'm not an idiot.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring-ting-tingling, too. I'm here with my dumb son, two ding-a-lings and a big boob. Outside, our fans are brawling and friends are calling, screw you. We're snuggled up together while the team is piddled down into their shoes. Take it, Ryan.
Trading up, trading up, trading up, no shame. Our strategy is lame. Grab a coffee, find a way to win a football game. Pick 'em up, pick 'em up, pick 'em up, D-line. Robert Quinn is my guy. My moves are great, and I know it because they work for my Madden franchise.
Coach Nagy's steering us down the beautiful, magnificent mile.
I'm driving Santa's sleigh, but I haven't run that play in a while.
I'm cuddled up with Teddy, he's a clueless, sweaty old fool.
I'm not old.
Try some of my prune juice, it's warm and it softens my stool.
Oh, Mom, lay off, he's trying, he's smart, he's a numbers guy.
Sweet George, just look at him, he's spelling boobs on his TI-85.
Boobs, very funny, Ted.
Well, I heard a man named Sylvie on the radio. They invented those when I was only 8 years old. From what I can make out, he's mad. Green Bay's the hammer and we're the nail. Are you listening, boys? They're saying we've all failed. So I'm just a sweet old lady with a useless team. I should just give up and pawn them off on Sister Jean. And I miss those days of foxy Star Wars nerd and lovey teams.
Rex is our quarterback.
A team that's selfish and undisciplined.
Carlos Santos.
We've got Coach Nagy, but he's steering us towards the beam.
George, you're a class A clown. Can't believe that you're in my bloodline. You look like skinny Colonel Sanders or a wannabe Monopoly guy. So here's to 10 more years of wasting everyone's time. We'll say things like Super Bowl shuffle.
Defense wins championship.
Monsters of the Midway.
Blue collar football team.
Charter franchise.
Dude, you missed the last line. I know I missed the line. I'm not an idiot.
The holidays are over, but that
very
remains.
Very deserving winner.
Yeah, and it remains. It remains a thought of many Bears fans. Calvin on the South Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Calvin?
What's going on? Sylvie always knocking on wood for you to the cool man, Waddle. I just got to be a Bear trooper, man, and that's why I listen to you at the end of the day because y'all tell the truth, and that's why y'all the right show at the end of the day. Listen, Trubisky's got to go. Nagy's got to go, and let alone Pace. But here's a solution, right? You know, for all these Trubisky supporters and this and that, you know, all they make excuses. The guy just ain't good, man. We've seen it with Rex Grossman. We've seen it with Cutler, unfortunately. You know the problem. You don't win because of him. You win in spite of him. So that's number one. Number two, I would look at a coach from San Francisco, somebody like Robert Salas or somebody to that magnitude that can come in here and bring some umph to us, like Doug Plank was saying, that would demand guys, like you were saying, Waddle, that will be up in Drew Brees' face and not let guys break tackles after catches. That's unacceptable. And third, Ryan Pace, we just know what a babbling idiot he is. I mean, just to be real with you, Sylvie, he showed implicit bias at the quarterback position. He doesn't know how to evaluate talent at key positions as far as upgrading the offensive line and getting the back end of things to settle things straight. So, I mean, it's going to be the same old song until they decide to really say, you know what, we have to be honest with ourselves and be truthful in what really going to get things done. If we're not going to do that, we're just going to be a stagnant franchise. Y'all going to be playing these same songs that make sense and are definitely dope. I like it. That's creative. But I appreciate y'all, man.
Yeah, thanks Calvin.
Thank you, Calvin. Listen, I agree with him. I got nothing against Mitch. And Mitch may go to another franchise and find more success there. Or I think he'll be in the league for a very long time. For whatever reason, there's Mitch fatigue. It hasn't gone well. I think it's in the best interest of everyone involved that there is a split.
A parting of the ways. Yeah. Tommy in Mount Pleasant, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tommy?
I wanted to be real quick, two things. Number one, I listened all day to Bear fans complain about the call on Komet. Now, first of all, it didn't cost them the game. Secondly of all, nobody can second-guess that call because if, in fact, it was a taunting call, the only guy who can really say what happened there was the guy who threw the flag. But let's go to the next part about Trubisky. I've never coached quarterbacks, but it's very, very evident that this guy is not an NFL quarterback. You can look at him and see the level of quality that he possesses. Now, this is a guy that takes a huge amount of the snaps in practice, and you watch his throws. If defensive backs could catch, he'd have 6 to 10 more interceptions. Mm-hmm. And mostly if you look at the balls he doesn't complete, that's when you, and I, while I totally disagree with you, I don't think this guy's going to have a long NFL career because, I mean, he's just not very good. And the thing that compounds the issue is, if this was any other team, this would have quietly been a quarterback change. But since Pace raised the stakes so high by trading up to get him, then they were stuck without doing it conventionally and just saying, hey, let's put the better quarterback out there.
Chase Daniel is a quarterback. He's been in the league since 2010. He's 34 going on 35. I mean, Chase Daniel
got
has
$7 million this year.
I mean, my point, Tommy, is he may not turn out to be Ryan Tannehill with his second experience. He's going to be in the league, at the very least, as a backup for a decade.
He's too good of an athlete.
That's the reality of it.
Yeah, and let me get to the Komet thing really quick, and then I'll let you bounce back. But Komet said today, they interviewed Komet on one of the Zoom calls. Komet said that the officials told him directly the reason he was flagged is the official interpreted that as him throwing the football at him. It wasn't anything he said, and Komet was clearly throwing the ball to the official.
And didn't he also say that Malcolm Jenkins at one point later in the game said...
Janoris Jenkins said that, yes.
Janoris Jenkins, okay.
Said to him, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good explanation. That makes, obviously, that changes my stance on it. But go back to this, Tommy. You got, supposedly Mitch is a great athlete, and yet is he not turning and running like he used to because he's hurt? Is he not? I mean, the play going out of bounds, I got to think he did that because he just can't afford mentally to throw his body in that way of danger. What's your interpretation of that play on the sideline?
I don't know. Chris Black brought up a good point. Like a quarterback who knows it's fourth down, does he step out of bounds? I was really weird, and I think I made that comment when we were watching the game on Twitch. It was just, it didn't make any sense to me. Now, I'm not sure he would have gotten to the first down stake if, in fact, he had put his head down and dove, but it just seemed odd to me that he would step out abounds at that time. I'm not trying to tell you he's the same athlete that Kyler Murray is or that even, you know, Josh Allen is.
No, he's a great athlete, though.
But
yeah.
he's a good athlete. Yeah,
he's more of an athlete than a quarterback. Yeah. Patrick and Glenn Allen, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Pat?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call, and thanks really for being there for us all season and all year.
Thank you.
I have two quick points, and I'll start with the clarification for why the offensive lineman is able to play for the Packers this weekend. And that's because due to COVID-19 this season, you could be elevated to the active roster without being signed to the active roster. So the Colts elevated Veld here to the active roster. The Packers then swooped in after the Colts lost and are signing him to the active roster essentially evading then the waiver wire.
Doesn't that sound like a loophole that eventually will be closed?
I guess it's a COVID rule.
Okay.
So I guess this is like the added flexibility that they've given teams on game day.
I gotcha.
Has allowed him to do this.
Okay.
So is that all he wanted? Was that
Patrick, what else was there?
The second point is this. We don't know what's going to happen possibly in the coming hours or over the course of the off season. But if they run it back for another try in 2021 without an attempt to correct the many, many imperfections of this team, there's just this overwhelming sense of apathy. I was riled up for every game this year, and it was a roller coaster of emotions. But I genuinely don't think that I can do that for this same group for another 8-8 season. It's just so tough.
Yeah, I get it. It's a good call. I want to know what Marky thinks. Marky's on deck.
Oh, he's riding high right now. He got a little Buffalo whatever.
Scared.
Yeah.
Terrified.
Is Buffalo Bill?
He is Buffalo Bill. Put the lotion in the basket.
You were nervous. We had a good text chain going. We'll talk to Marky about his Bills win and make a prediction on what will happen over these next couple of days up in Lake Forest. All that with Mark Jean Greco coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, it's time for a victorious Mark Jean Greco. The Bills' number one fan. He's brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Check him out at thehomeloanexpert.com. I was just calling them today. Just texting my guy over at the Home Loan Expert.
You can't refinance three times in a week.
You can. Waddle's the king at it.
Oh, yeah.
He tells me all the time.
Not in a week. Yeah.
No, but...
I've done it fairly recently a couple times. You got to stay on it.
Of course you do.
The rates are still close to an all-time low.
It doesn't cost you that much to keep doing it.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
So Ryan Kelly's the absolute best. Check him out. Marky, you were a little nervous as we had a text chain going.
A little? What are you kidding me? I assumed they were going to win this game. I thought it would be close, but that defense is awful. It scares me. As Tommy said, this is not a Super Bowl defense. By any stretch of the imagination, no pass rush, zero. That game gave Phillip Rivers another year in Indianapolis. They didn't touch him. Secondary weak. Linebackers, I never heard anybody's name called. I'm scared to death to go against the Ravens. And did you know that the Bills have only a 21% chance to make it to the Super Bowl, which is behind the Chiefs, of course, and the Ravens?
How do you come to that percentage?
I don't know.
Number?
I don't do all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm scared to death.
I would say this to you, as good as they are, and I think they're just getting better and better. Boy, I was a little disappointed in their inability, to rush the passer and tackle. And next week, you're going to get Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, the tackling was awful. Awful.
I will say this, though. I think one of the best stories, and this isn't a
secret. They might have not been able to tackle Mitch tiptoeing out of bounds.
Josh Allen is one of the better stories of 2020 in terms of his progress.
Oh.
I mean, it's been such a fabulous.
No question about it. And they are playing with joy. They truly love one another. They're having such a great time. Although I didn't really see that. But in a playoff game, everything notches down. It's more about defense. You take fewer chances.
Do you see that, that Les Frazier, I believe, is on the list to interview for the Houston Texans
job? Yeah. You know what? I love Les so much. He's one of my all-time favorite people in football. And he'd probably be on his way to the Hall of Fame had he not blown out his knees at the end of the Super Bowl.
It's good coaching staff in Buffalo.
Yeah, it really, really is. And, you know, it's what happens. It's cyclical. You know, they're going to lose a lot of guys. But here's the thing about the Bears, going back to them. All the best coaches and GM candidates have already interviewed. They're already on their way to new destinations. And then, you know, the 20th pick in this draft, because you're 8-8 and back into the playoffs, that's not going to get you a difference maker in picking. You're not going to get a franchise player. And the pandemic has emptied the coffers of all teams, especially family-owned businesses like the Bears. So nobody's going anywhere, even though we've heard this groundswell of late that something could happen.
So you think this is it will be a money-inspired decision not to make any change?
Yeah, and first and foremost, they're not going to fire a bunch of people and have to pay them. They're not going to do
Mark,
that.
But every
and they're
team
not going to sign any big free agents.
Yeah, that's penny wise, pound foolish.
Mark, every there is more openings, like you said. Now, I'd understand if you say, look, we're behind all these teams. Doug Peterson was just let go today. He just won a Super Bowl 3 years ago.
Do you want to hire
Nobody,
him? I don't know.
I have not heard of one team
he
yet.
He seems kind of wishy-washy to me in dealing with players, trying to
Who
appease
does?
Everybody.
Peterson?
Doug Peterson.
Yeah,
hey, listen, you hit the nail on the head. Pennywise and pound foolish. That's the Bears. That's the way they're looking at things.
The White Sox blew out their manager. The Bulls blew out their front office and head coach. There hasn't been a team in town who hasn't been willing to like the Cubs won't sign anybody.
But comparison.
What?
You can't make that comparison.
Well, why not?
Because the Bears are the Bears, and I think they're
the
stuck.
Bears have spent.
They haven't recent years, but this year the pandemic will be the excuse for hold the line and just maintain the status quo for another year or two. Tommy, you said it best when we were talking earlier today. They're in NFL hell. They're at least in NFL limbo. They really can't do anything.
But Mark, to take the opposite opinion, and the money's minimal. I mean, when you're talking about, I mean, it's a lot of money, but based on what the asset.
I think it was minimal until this year.
Yeah, but based on what the asset is worth, and when you also factor in that the start of every calendar year in the National Football League, they have something going for them that maybe some of the other leagues don't have. And that is an enormous collective pool of cash that comes in from the rights fees.
Yeah.
Like, they all get a check for $270 million on day one of the NFL season. That covers the majority of your fixed expenses. I would say to you, I mean, like, look, if you're going to use money as an issue for not making the change, it's only, how's it going to get any better? Is this team going to, are we just going to roll this back with all the same people and just hope that it gets better? Like, I don't.
You're kind of making my point, because I think the McCaskey's attitude is, look, the entire family lives off this team. We're still going to make money hand over fist with the TV dough. So why make the effort? And that caller, Patrick, when I was walking in, hit it on the head. You know, outrage is one thing. You actually want outrage to keep your fan base engaged. You want your diehards to be outraged. But apathy is what you really have to fear.
Well, you may get
there. I think there's a lot of outrage, Mark.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, but again, like, here's a reason why you spend. Where you look at a Robert Quinn and you say to yourself, my general manager doesn't draft well, and I have to go out and spend $30 million on an aging rush end, $30 million. If I had better guys in the front office, then I could just draft guys and they could be my core. That's why, like, I think the costs of a general manager and coaches and scouts are pennies on the dollar compared to what you're paying Jimmy Graham $9 million because you couldn't find a tight end before him because of your general
to
manager.
To make a great one-handed catch at the end of a game.
Well, he was a fantastic
red zone
threat
this year. Luckily didn't screw up the point spread.
Look, the one thing that I will agree with you in terms of what leads me to believe that it's very, 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 very possible that there's no change is, despite the fact that you are in NFL hell and you're 8-8 and there's been no progress the last 2 years, you're not the poo show that you were that existed with Mark Trestman.
Right.
So like.
But see, look,
not,
everything is relative. Look what we're comparing them to.
But my point is that like that wouldn't keep me like that. That's a low bar. Well, we're not a complete and total dumpster fire the way we were with Mark Trestman, where guys were talking out of it, and it was just that shouldn't be the bar for change. It
that team
be.
Had more. That team may have had more talent than this team.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, could have.
Especially,
but, I mean, everybody's reaction to Mitch just tiptoeing out of bounds and giving up on that fourth down run is going to be etched in people's minds forever. And I watched the post game, and maybe it's just me because I'm bent that way. Mitch seemed like, when he was asked, do you want to come back here? He's like, yeah, I guess. I think I got better. But I think he's already like, maybe a change of scenery is better for me, too. You know?
I don't know that people, I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority with this thought. I don't know how many teams are going to be knocking down his door to give him a bunch of money.
This is how I see him. A career backup making tons of money for the next 10
which
or 12 years. Which is fine. He's a good guy. He can't play. He's not a starter. Period. End of story.
Well, they need
a left tackle. They need two tackles.
Yes. I will ask you both. Do you think what we saw this year from Teddy Bridgewater helps him or hurts him? Like, because Teddy Bridgewater was considered to be a better you know, prospect. And Teddy had a very bland kind of average year and is making, what, $27 million?
Yeah.
Does that help Mitch? Like, hey, I can go somewhere else and be that. Or does it hurt Mitch? Like, why would we give $27 or $25 million or whatever it was to somebody that we're hoping is going to be better and really isn't?
Right. I think Mitch is smart to take whatever the Bears might offer him if it's a 1 or 2 year deal.
And what did Mariota get?
He's still, I think, on double secret probation.
Didn't he get $10 million? Aren't the Raiders on the hook for $10 or $11 million?
For 2 years, right? I think that's more of a comp. Where you say to yourself, look, I wanna get him back. I want to get his confidence back. He could be my backup quarterback or compete. But and I'm hoping to get lightning. I don't think anyone will look at it. Teddy Bridgewater, remember, had like the arrow pointing up because he filled in and won
five
in
games
in place of
right.
Drew Brees. Yeah. Right. And I don't think that the arrow is going up for maybe it's sideways. Like, it's not as down as it
there
was
will be
if he
some
went to play.
There will be some people that will look at the situation like Rex Ryan did and say, Mitch was mismanaged by Matt Nagy. And I won't dispute that.
Mm-hmm.
But I will also counter that with, true, but Mitch has limitations that,
right.
that also have to be factored in.
Whether he stays here or goes somewhere else, he's going to be fighting for a job at all times. Nothing's going to be guaranteed him at all. Now, you got to figure Allen Robinson's gone. Although, look at the market, you know? Again, this is weird coming out of a year where players have opted out and the money really isn't what it was, the salary cap lowered.
As much as you'd love to keep him, I don't know that you can afford to pay him what he's looking for.
Right.
Did Allen Robinson telegraph that? I want to tell you guys what he said today. He did speak to the media. If you want to talk to Mark, if you want to make a point on the Bears, we have one more segment left before the national championship game. Remember, this is your home, Bama, Ohio State. We've got the game coming up. Our Bears coverage is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Acura dealers. The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by our guys at the Home Loan Experts. Start the new year off right. Get pre-approved for your new home purchase by visiting thehomeloanexpert.com.
Waddle and Sylvie weekdays 2 to 6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Coverage of the national championship game coming your way in 10 minutes. Mark Gingreco in the First Midwest Bank studio right now.
What does that mean? He's good for a belly laugh. At least one every time.
What I miss?
Just going down memory lane. You know, just a little thing that you can't talk about on the air. But you know, that's what happens to me,
escapades.
Tommy. That's what happens.
You should have seen Waddle with Yurko and Carmen yesterday going blue on the Twitch channel watching the game. Just a new great way to kind of broadcast.
Yeah, I saw Carmen just wolfing down some barbecue.
Yeah.
Nice.
That dude can throw a party. You had a nice little table of booze.
So you guys outside,
tacos.
You're masked up, but you had a nice spread. Yeah. Had the brown whiskey going,
had the beautiful charcuterie tray.
Carmen's a great host, isn't he?
He's great. Fantastic.
On and off the air. Yes. He's a great talk show host, and he's a great host at his home.
No doubt.
What was that called? Barboa? What were you eating?
Barbacoa.
Barbacoa. So that was the original barbecue, right? Like,
don't ask me questions.
In Mexico, like they used to put a pig in the ground and cover it with agave leaves and fire it up. That's where it came from.
I'll take your word for it.
All right. Yeah, it's a good history lesson right there, Mark.
You said it with conviction, so I believe it.
Barbacoa. It sounds like somebody I went to high school with.
You want
to
draft our next quarterback.
You got cojones?
The Bills win their first playoff game, and Marky all of a sudden
gets smarter. Hey, Sammy Barbacoa from Buffalo.
Mike's in on the Kennedy. Mike, say hi to Mark Gingreco.
Hey, guys. Love your show. Love you, Mark.
Thanks, Mikey. Thank you, bud.
Listen, though, I got to – here's my question. So no, and I'm not a huge fan of the kid either. But who are you going to bring in that's a backup from another team who's better than him, who knows the system, so we don't hear next year, well, he didn't know the system
yet. He doesn't know the system.
Well, okay, but still. So who are we going to bring in who's going to play with a sub – I don't care how they play towards the end of the season. It's still a subpar offensive line. You've got receivers who can't get separation. Even Allen Robinson – he's an unbelievable receiver because he can catch stuff when guys are all over him. But these receivers cannot get separation other than the kid who got hurt. So who are we going to bring in who's going to be better than who we got now? That's all my question is.
It's fair, it's a fair question, but I could respond with another question. Why do you want more of the same?
I don't want more of the same, but again, what do we have that makes it better? That's my point. Now
You don't have to start over, is Tom's point.
But your point is you're settling for 8 and 8. Like, I don't know what they could do, but doing more of what we've seen the last 2 years isn't really appealing to me, Mike. It really isn't.
Do you think that bringing in a backup, because you're not going to get a top guy from somebody else, do you think somebody else's backup who wasn't good enough to play for them is going to be someone who's going to become our franchise quarterback?
Well, there could be more.
If you keep the same coaches,
Mark,
could be.
There could be other options out there. I mean, sure. Like the Cam Newton situation, it didn't work. Okay, I'm not saying Cam Newton. There's going to be another guy like him who has been a starter, who's had some success, and who you could bring in and say, hey, maybe the ceiling's higher with this guy. I thought it was a good try with Nick Foles, putting him with these guys, but it didn't work out. It obviously didn't work out.
One last quick question. So let me ask you this. If you had the choice to spend the money on bringing Teddy Bridgewater in, or would you rather keep the guy you got now and spend the money on some players for an offensive line, what would you rather do?
Well, if I had to choose between those two options, I'd pay less for the average quarterback. So I would keep Mitch and spend the money elsewhere. But I could do both. I could spend a lot of money on an offensive tackle, and then, I mean, you either play Nick Foles or you bring in a draft pick and you play. I mean, listen.
Well, I guess the question would be to the front office, and why didn't we do that this year when we knew our offensive line was a major problem last year? And I guess
blamed the coach.
Listen,
and they
Mike,
do that again with Chuck Pagano this year.
Kind of to answer Mike. Your question as well, look, I said this earlier, I'll say it again. I just don't see a scenario where the coach and the existing quarterback both come back next year. And the reason I say that is it was on full display the last two games against the Packers and the Saints. He showed you what he thought of his quarterback. He didn't believe in, he hasn't, he won't, and he never will truly believe in the quarterback.
I agree. Can you see a scenario where the GM leaves, Nagy stays, Nagy leaves, the GM stays, that thing?
I think it's more likely if one was going to stay, it would be the coach.
And then they pair him up with someone he knows well, right?
Yeah. And then I think
he's got 2 years, right?
I do believe if Matt is here, I don't think Mitch will be, because again, as I said,
they better not extend Pace. If they choose to keep him, which I think sucks to begin with, if they extend him and give him another year to get him on Nagy's timeline, that's stupid. Stupid.
No question about that.
Let me read you this. I want to see what you guys think. Allen Robinson spoke today and talked about how everything's open going forward for his future. Remember, he's going to be a free agent. He says, I personally feel like we had an opportunity to be able to get something done over the past 365. Do you think he's gone?
Yes, absolutely.
Waddle, quickly.
Yes, because I think that the Bears are willing to pay him a certain amount, and he wants more.
All right, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. The national championship game is coming up next. Thanks to Black and Abdallah and Markey and Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
Instant classic!
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfort.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.